I was on soap for 2 seasons. I think it was early, at least in the second season, that I was informed that there might be a possibility of spinning off from soap.
Well, the character of Benson, as you know, came out of soap, and it just bust out. Bob was just fantastic, and after the first year, ABC, recognizing what a popular character he was, wanted to do the spinoff and have his own show. So they left it up to Paul, Susan, and myself to come up with a notion that would work for Benson.
I certainly felt liberated in a sense from having to conform to somebody's idea of who the character might be. I was totally free to, at least in my mind, to create how I was going to play that character.
Well, as in soap, Benson was always the smartest, sanest human being in the piece. And we said, where could we put him where that would even become more magnified or as magnified? And certainly politics seemed like a good idea. It still would be today. And so we said we could put him in a governor's mansion. And to make the spinoff connect, we had the governor be related to Jessica Tate from soap. And so all that worked, and he needed help. His wife had just died in a terribly funny accident.
Of course, if my wife was alive, it'd be a little easier, but she's dead, poor thing.
I'm sorry.
She's killed by some horses.
Trampled?
No, eaten.
Your wife was eating my horses.
We were going to the country club costume party, and she was the sugar plum fairy. We made her costumes out of sugar cubes. They ate them.
And I looked at the script, and I read about 10 pages of it, most of which was the governor's telling about how his wife died. And it was not only good, it was funny, funny good.
Paul, Susan, and I had the same M.O. for everything we ever did, which is the three of us sat at a kitchen table, literally. And it's no surprise that Golden Girls ended up at the kitchen table a lot. But the three of us sat at a kitchen table and hashed out ideas. And then Susan would breathe life and create these characters, gleaning from us what she liked, what Paul and I discussed and what she had to say about it. And then she would go, put it down on paper. But that was it, you know, find a series for Benson. So we came up with the mansion and the governor and his need and the characters in there, and realizing that Benson would be someone who is always so right, and he is the compass of right and a decent human being, and someone who is clearly can speak his mind. And we thought putting him in politics, where he would run into some suspicious kinds of characters and people with other motives that were not so pure, and also giving him the domestic side of having to deal with running the household and dealing with people that had already been there and might be jealous that he shows up. But always knowing that where Benson was really going was into running the state, you know. Eventually he became governor.
The character of Benson, he was actually based on a real man that had worked for Danny Thomas.
He was indeed the sanest and best human being in the household, or one of the best.
Tony Thomas, the son of Danny Thomas, related this character in their own household to Susan, and out of it she created Benson.
He was never afraid to speak his mind. He was a moral compass. He was a good, decent human being. And he cared for the right people and didn't suffer fools.
Excuse me, Governor. I'd like to introduce...
Introduce? Oh, this man needs no introduction. I'd know the Reverend Jesse Jackson anywhere. Welcome, Reverend Jackson.
Governor.
Now this industrial complex that we've been talking about, this will create thousands of jobs for your people. I don't know how black people feel about beavers, but I do know how they feel about jobs.
Governor, Please, for God's sake.
Well, you made it. You made it. He's anxious to meet you, too.
Governor, this is Benson.
Benson?
Benson.
Reverend Benson Jackson?
Are you sure he's the governor? Oh,
yes, I'm the governor.
This is Benson from your cousin Jessica's family.
You mean we're related?
Aren't you glad I didn't show up before the election?
My great concern with the character of Benson, that I'd get stuck in some kind of pre-1936 time warp with a black character on television.
When I sometimes hear, and I've heard in the past, well, Ben, that was just that stereotypical black man working for the white man. That was not Benson. That was never Benson. And, you know, that was his job in the beginning, because that's the job America would give him. But that's not what he became.
Benson was an attempt to put forth a character that did not depend on stereotype.
Well, you have to remember, Whit Thomas Harris are products of the 60s. Our life experience was the whole struggle of the African American and watching, you know, the progression and knowing that it was far from over, and knowing, you know, that's why you have a line like the governor thinking that if this black man is in his office, he must be an important black man, and it must be Jesse Jackson, because of the blinders that white America had on and still to some degree has.
We didn't deal with race, period, but it was nonetheless there. And I think that was part of the fun, a great part of the fun.
We knew it was going to be a good show. First of all, Bob is a great center for the show. The character was so loved and could say what he wants and do what he wanted, and people respected the character. So we had a great center. And you have a good center, you're halfway home.
I knew when I read the script that I could do it. I didn't know how many other people could do it who might have, you know, done it better. But I thought, uncharacteristically, they better give me this part, which is why I remember it so well.
Well, first you're looking for good acting. If you don't have good acting, you're dead. And likable people who can pull off all kinds of situations, whether they be comedic or dramatic, and remain likable whether they're doing good or bad things. And then secondly, we're looking for comedy. I mean, we are doing a comedy. And so they had to be funny.
I had the advantage of having worked on Broadway, and I'd become accustomed to creating anything I wanted to do in front of TV and in front of the camera. I had been so accustomed to just attempting to be myself, and that's the perspective that I think I employed when we started to do Benson.
Bob Gale captured the essence of that character and made him so real and loving and caring and funny that he was the guy, you know. He was the guy that you wanted to see and be with. And his relationships with those other actors. Jim and Inga were just tremendously funny and good, and worth coming back to seeing week after week.
I am speaking to the spirit of Governor Hartwick. Are you upset?
We know he's upset.
You didn't believe in this.
I do. But if we're going to ask questions, ask him something we don't know the answers to.
Ask him what Xerox is going to do.
He will not answer unless we take this seriously. Someone go and shut the window.
Benson, shut the window.
Taylor, shut your face.
We all worked together quite well because we were all sort of rebel actors from New York in search of something. either in terms of our careers or... It was nice to try to create something new and really off the wall. And I thought Jim had a real handle on it. He was so outrageous. I think he was the zaniest of us all. He was truly insane.
Originally, they were writing from what they imagined the governor or whoever thought and spoke. And then it gradually became a little bit more, since we spent a lot of time with these writers, and not just doing their words, but talking. So they would gradually edge it a little closer to the way I talked. And the writing would change a little bit.
Well, the character was written as a bit of a naive man who was the governor of the state. And although a decent human being could be overwhelmed by the situation and or be swayed potentially by evil people. And that was the notion for that character, so Benson could play off of that and help him navigate through the political world. And what Jim brought to that was not just perhaps the quote-unquote fool or the naivete, but he brought certainly the genuine part of it, the human being that this guy was. That obviously that's what that state saw and why it elected him, because he was a good man. But he wasn't as sophisticated as he needed to be. And what Jim brought was the ability to be the fool, to be sometimes downright ridiculously foolish or naive, and yet not dislike him for it, or not say, how could you be the governor? You know, he managed to make create a reality.
We're not accusing you of anything, Miss Groth. It's just that Marcy here seemed to feel that there was something that you said, well, actually something that you didn't say about a certain matter that you said you didn't know anything about, that would explain to me how... What is it we're asking her?
Miss Crass, it's about all these things that have been going on in the house.
I know nothing.
The character of Krause, Inga Swenson, things that were totally outrageous seemed to make perfectly good sense when the audience saw it. And it became true.
What Inga brought was just a lot more dimension to the character and truly a real human being past that stoic quality that was on the page. She really brought a warmth to it in spite of her edge and her complete dislike for Benson. I mean, I was always convinced, and I think others were too, in developing her along the way, that she had a crush on Benson later down in the road. You know, there was no question about that. But at first, it was just someone coming into her territory, and why didn't she have this job, and what did the governor need someone else to come in and do this, and so on and so forth. But and I think Benson, after the initial exposure to her, and just of saying, you know, get off my back, lady, I'm running this place, after that initial exposure, I think he just loved to pull her chain. I mean, it just amused him that he could annoy her so much.
You're not mad enough. You need to concentrate on bad things, things that upset you. Think of the people around you, always doing stupid things, getting in your way, interfering with your work, upsetting you in the kitchen with your stupid questions, always under your feet. You want to stamp them out.
Yes?
Come on, look.
Well, Missy, you know, was an adorable young lady. Her sister was a good actress. She was a good actress. I think she had a younger sister even coming up that was an actress when we all met Missy. She was a doll, is a doll, and at the time was just right. She needed to play that sort of little orphan girl who had a very busy father and had just lost her mother and was getting lost in the shuffle. And it was someone who Benson could help guide a little bit.
Daddy,
Katie, you are not going to the Kiss concert. That's fine. They are bizarre.
But they're fun, aren't they, Benson?
They play too loud, they paint their faces, and they prance around sticking out their tongues. Now, is that fun, Benson?
Well, if it's done in good taste.
Go ahead, Benson. Tell him it's okay.
She was so much like me in a way, in that she loved the thing of going through these experiences. And she loved the thing of going through these experiences as a family. And so she was fond of me and showed it and in a very daughterly sort of a way.
I tried to avoid some of maybe the possible scenes that they would put together. I think they knew that my paranoia was based on looking as if I was going to tap dance with that character up and down some steps or something like that. I was paranoid about recreating perhaps some of that. And I wanted the connection between Benson and that character of the governor's daughter, I wanted it to be as natural as possible and less dependent on old ideas in that regard.
Oh, you must be the governor's daughter.
Yes, but I'm trying to get out of it.
What happened? He won't let you stay up later, did he increase your property taxes?
This is serious.
Okay.
The man is a murderer.
Are you a Republican?
Do you know what he's doing? He's in there killing beavers.
I beg your pardon?
Beavers, you know beavers?
Oh, you mean the animals that need an orthodontist.
Benson, I think the governor's meeting is breaking up. Hi, Katie. Hi, Katie?
I'm sorry, I don't speak to killers.
Oh, wonderful. I need this today, a killer.
Caroline McWilliams is a great actress and was on Soap. So we knew her very well, and what we needed was an endearing, sweet person who was the gatekeeper for the governor, but at the same time had an edge and was funny, and who was vulnerable, and it was somebody that Benson wanted to look out for. And she had all those qualities. She could be tough and funny and edgy, but she was ingratiating and vulnerable.
I made a reservation just in case he decides to go to Washington.
But don't worry about it. He's not going.
Well, of course he's not going. And a reservation doesn't mean his mind's made up. So what does it hurt to change it since he's definitely not going to be there on the 24th and I can always cancel the 22nd? It was all Taylor's idea.
Would you run that past me again?
Forget it.
Where is he?
Oh, he should be here any minute.
Not him, you.
You want to see me?
You got that right.
Mossy, make an appointment for Benson to see me.
Lewis was a very talented guy, is a very talented guy. And what we wanted was a malicious, officious fellow that sometimes took the governor in the wrong direction and who could be a real nemesis for Benson, and where they could butt heads and where Benson would be just annoying the heck out of him, because this is a man who is supposed to be in charge of the mansion and not in charge of state politics. But Benson couldn't possibly watch bad decisions being made. And he had the governor's ear at late night coffee and donuts, or he'd go in and discuss with the governor, or the governor, recognizing the kind of human being Benson was, would go to Benson and counteract, you know, what Lewis's character was trying to put into motion.
Because Lou had come off of, I think, a show in which he played Groucho Marx. And he felt, I believe, a little come down from that lofty position that first brought him to their attention.
Come on, Benson, I know you're up to something. Now, what is it?
What's what?
There is something about Katie you're not telling me.
I'm not telling you anything.
Exactly. She's not even here, is she?
Who?
Katie.
Katie?
Katie. Benson, I am a politician. Don't you think that I can recognize a cover-up when I see one? Now, where is Katie?
Katie?
when you have good actors like Jim Noble and Inga Swenson, and obviously Bob, but those kinds of actors, to react around, to react to these larger-than-life situations and play these larger-than-life situations, they ground it. And you actually believe, as weird as this might be, this could take place, and this certainly could take place in politics, or someone could certainly have a reaction like that. I've had a reaction like that. Not that large, that's why it's very funny to watch it that way, but I've had that. That's what they do as good actors.
So we were all happy to be there, but aware that we were all New Yorkers. And as New Yorkers, we'd done a lot of plays. I don't know how many, maybe 200 I had, not by that time, but maybe 200 I've done altogether. And that involves an audience. And the audience is almost an extra character.
There was good and bad to the studio audience. Mostly good, because there was an energy about show night that you can't really capture anywhere else.
It's not that you're playing to the audience or for the audience. It's that they are present, and they make themselves known to be present.
The audience was fun because it energized our actors. You could always tell the pickups after the show or before the show, if you pre-shot, that when it wasn't in front of an audience, the lack of that actor's adrenaline if there's a crowd out there. So I enjoyed having an audience, especially with my background. My father was an entertainer and used to watch him at the Sands Hotel, so I liked to have an audience so I could see what was going on. You know, it was nice to feel their presence and watch the actors respond to it.
And of course, on a sitcom, the laughs are very much a part of it. Now, I know that other people get used to that, and the laughs being put on by laugh track later on, but it doesn't seem to me that it's the same at all. And I loved having the audience there.
Does the governor look worried?
Gentlemen, I'm afraid that I'm going to have to invoke emergency powers. Governor!
Governor, where? I made you look.
Very few of us had any real experience before the television cameras.